Hey y'all, and welcome back to another episode of That Vet Life. Today I am super excited to welcome Dr. Marcy Kirk and Dr. Anna Reddish, who you guys probably know better from the My Veterinary Life podcast, which if you've ever had the opportunity to listen to it, it is such an incredible podcast full of amazing stories from veterinary professionals. And I'm literally just brimming with excitement. I can't even just so excited to have you guys on the show today. So before I start rambling like crazy, I'll open it over to you guys just to introduce yourself.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for that warm welcome. I really appreciate it. And this is Marcy Kirk. I'm one of the co-hosts, as you said, of My Veterinary Life podcast. And my other role is as the Assistant Director for Recent Graduate Initiatives at the AVMA. So just helping develop resources for that transition from student into veterinarian.
And yeah, I'm Anna Reddish, and I'm also so excited to be here. This is really fun to be on the other side. I currently serve with AVMA as the Assistant Director for Student Initiatives, and I'm based in Atlanta, Georgia, and I've worked with vet schools on the East Coast and Caribbean for about the past 5 years now. Love co-hosting the My Veterinary Life podcast with Marcy.
Well, thank you so much again for coming on the show today, and I'm really excited to dive into your storytelling methods for My Veterinary Life podcast and just learning the behind the scenes, if you will, of like how it came to be, and just letting you share your excitement for it. So in talking about it, I guess we should talk about like what is the story behind My Veterinary Life? Like what were the motivators for you to develop this?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And for me, I guess it goes back to, I'm a huge fan of podcasts in general. And I've been trying unsuccessfully for about 2 years now to figure out a way to explain this to people. But when I listen to podcasts regularly, I begin to think that I'm friends with the hosts. And I don't mean that in like a really creepy way. It's just like they become part of my community and you feel less alone. And that for me was the start of what I wanted to do and what we, Anna and I, hope to do with our podcast is just to help veterinary professionals feel less alone. Like there's somebody else out there that's been through a similar experience, or there's somebody out there that might have the role that you've been dreaming of, and we can hopefully make those connections and build that community. So it sort of started from a place of like loneliness and wanting to help people build their communities for me.
Yeah, well, you were saying too, you know, what are, you know, the behind the scenes look, and Marcy is really being humble right now because this was Marcy's brainchild, and she was very passionate about it, and she said, show me about the idea, and I was like, oh my gosh, yes, I support you 1,000%, and she was like, and you'll be one of the co-hosts, and I was like, oh, but I support you, but okay, I'll do this with you. So I am just excited to tag along on this journey with her. We were laughing in just a recording yesterday, talking about with our guest, Dr. Tierra Price, when we were talking about like identifying your strengths, and I love ideas as well. So when Marcy was like, yes, I have this idea, I was like, yes, yes, ideas are the best. And then the podcast will be this, and it'll be this, and it'll be this. And then Marcy was like, and we'll need microphones and a recording platform. And I was like, what? No, details, not my thing. But we laugh a lot to say that together we are one functional human being. So we, by our powers combined, mostly by Marcy's power, the podcast, it makes it out every week, sometimes twice a week. So very grateful for the balance of our personalities and being on the show.
Yeah, Mariah, that's one thing I have to commend you for, though, is I'm not sure I would have had the guts to do this on my own. So I think it's really impressive that you've been doing this for so long. And you've done some episodes that are just you, too. And I mean, I love episodes like this because, again, it's like an intimate look at my friends that I've made virtually. But I really was intimidated to do it by myself. So I drug Anna into it with me. And now I think she's happy with it.
Oh, well, that is very kind of you to say. I really appreciate that. And yeah, I mean, doing it as a one-woman band is a was a bit of a strange undertaking, I think, especially as a vet student and now continuing it as a veterinary professional. And I'm still kind of like, I wish I had two or three of me just to like do all of this. So I think you're very smart to be like, hey, friend, you want to support me in this? Now, like, support me and be in it as well. which, Anna, I think I remember, what was that? It was SAVMA Symposium, oh gosh, how many years ago now? And it was like literally the first episode I had ever recorded with anybody else. And we just like, it was, oh my gosh, I'm not even remembering like the full details. But you got dragged into it as well. And you were like, I'm doing a podcast. What is this? Like, it was so crazy.
I'm really glad that you bring that up, because when you reached out and we were going back and forth on emails, I wanted to bring that experience up because I think about that all of the time. It was in Philadelphia at SAVMA Symposium 2018. Yes. And it was Steve Haynes and I, now Dr. Steve Haynes. Mm-hmm. And Steve was like, yeah, we're going to talk about SAVMA Symposium on this podcast. And I was like, okay, yeah, that sounds good. And I remember us recording, and you were so great. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's got all this equipment. Like, look at her go. And then you hit record, and all I could think about was, I have never been aware of how loud I breathe in my entire life.
Yes.
I was like, oh my, how have I made it 30 something years on the earth and nobody has told me that I'm the loudest breather that anybody has ever met? And I was just laughing so hard the whole time, but you made it so fun for us. And when Marcy and I started in some of the initial episodes, I thought back to that and I was like, Marcy, can you hear me breathe?
You know, it's funny that, Anna, because now, so when we started this, we obviously had great support from our organization and everything. So we outsourced the editing because I had heard in all my research that that's the hardest part. That's the hardest part. But what I ended up finding was that I was listening to them, telling them what I wanted edited. And in that time, I'm like, I can learn how to edit this quicker. And we went to the Podcast Movement Conference last August, and that really gave me like the confidence to edit them. But going back to what you guys were saying, I edit out my breathing because my microphone is so sensitive compared to everyone else's. I can see where the breaths are on our editing software, and I take it out because it drives me nuts.
No, I totally, oh gosh. Yeah. Editing processes when there's like the little like pauses, or if I mess up words or breathing or hearing like wind in the background or anything like that. And as an editor, you're like, this is eating away at me. Oh my gosh, this is going to be the loudest thing everybody hears. It's going to annoy them. And then you realize it actually annoys me more than it annoys the listeners. But I always feel better going through and doing like the noise cancellation and just like taking out little things here and there. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, 6 hours of my life have just gone by editing out breathing. What am I doing? So no, I fully understand those frustrations.
It's definitely a balance.
For sure. And again, going back to that first like major recording back in Philadelphia, I know for myself, I had this like 3-page format printed out. I was going to have to read things word by word. I was borrowing microphones from friends. It was the first time I was really using my audio recorder. I didn't have a third microphone. So what did I do? I threw 3 socks over the external part of the recorder. And I'm talking into that. And I gave the real microphones to yourself and to Steven. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is just a mess. But so I'm glad hearing from you from the other side, like it came off as being fun, at least. It's always, I think that's the best part about this is like, I think back on my initial episodes and I'm like, oh my gosh, they were so bad. The editing was terrible. I was a terrible speaker. I'm not the greatest now, but thinking back through being like, oh, I should delete them. They should just go away. And then it's like, no, you got to keep those in because like for myself, I see the progression of where I've come from. And then for the listeners, like you said, like they become your friends in a way. And so my friends, my listening friends, they've gotten to be with me from the beginning and kind of grown with me and had that community grow. So going back to like the story behind why you wanted to do that, I think that is an amazing motivator, that wanting to create such an insanely supportive community by sharing stories, which that goes back to like storytelling. Like, why do we do it? It's because we want to build connection and build relationship. And that's what human nature like requires in order to survive. So I think that is so awesome that you guys are doing that. And did you guys basically meet working through AVMA, or how did this awesome co-host chemistry come about?
So I had to ask Anna when I started AVMA, because she started a year ahead of me, and she had been at the AVMA what, like a few months, and you were on a panel at convention. And it would have been 2015 when we were in when AVMA convention was in Boston. And I was looking to transition out of clinical practice, and she was on a career transitions panel, and she seemed very approachable. And she said, they said that they were going to be at this networking event afterwards. So I remember I got like, I dressed up, had my hair in a bun. And Anna is so good at remembering people. Like, that's something she says, she doesn't have attention to detail, but she can remember anyone. It's just unreal to me. I mean, it takes me several times of meeting someone and making the connections like that. And so we met and chatted and everything, and went on our ways. And then she was actually on my interview panel a year later, whenever I was applying to the AVMA. And after I was hired, I was like, did you remember that I met you before? And you're like, yeah, you had your hair in a bun and like all this stuff. Oh, so that's how we actually met. And then because student initiatives and early career are such so linked, we worked together a lot on other things. And so it just kind of happened naturally. And I think we have a lot of similarities, but then enough differences that, again, makes us a functioning team.
A single functioning human being. Yeah. And literally the energy between you guys is infectious. And so listening to the episodes, I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to be their friends. They just seem like awesome human beings.
That is the kindest thing ever. Thank you for that.
No, you really, seriously, just and just getting to know you, Anna, like through AVMA and through SAVMA, like I can echo, you are seriously just like some of the sweetest human being ever. And of course, Marcy, this is my first time meeting you, but already we were like talking about running and running gear. And we're like, oh my gosh, we're like the same person. This is awesome.
Yeah, I know. When you were saying, oh, I was thinking this would be like 30, 40 minutes. I'm like, not a problem. We will be able to find plenty of things to talk about.
Yeah. I think the issue will come in the post-production where I'm like, how do I trim this down into like a length that people actually want to listen to, and they're not like, crap, it's been 2 hours, what am I supposed to do?
I'm so always intrigued by that, though, because, and I don't know if this is just it might just be my personality, but I have several podcasts I listen to that are longer, and I mean, I listen to them when I had a commute or when I would be running and not with my running partner, and I would just pause them, and it gave me something to look forward to, so it was almost like anticipating the next time. But I know there are a lot of people that like, I only want it to be the length that I have, you know, like 23 minutes, that's it. That's the max. And I don't know. I just think if it goes longer, it just gives me more incentive to turn it back on whenever I have time. I don't know.
No, I like that way of thinking. And I hope that that's what other people are doing as well. Because I know for myself, I do a similar thing where like if I'm going on a run or a walk or just commuting, I'll probably choose an episode that I think will fit that time frame. But if it goes over, I'm just like, oh, well, going to listen to it later, I guess. So, and it's like a continuation of the story, a new chapter, if you will. So that's a good way to think about it. I like that.
I do that on Netflix too, though. I find myself when I'm watching a show that's like a series, I want to get like 5-10 minutes in and then I want to stop so that it entices me like back or I don't know. I don't know. That's weird, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Do you do something similar, Anna?
Well, I would say at times, but now living in our COVID life, all TV is a shared experience in our home. So, you know, prior to this, I traveled quite a bit in my role at AVMA. And so I loved, you know, kind of like my alone TV time. And so I could, you know, really pick and choose. But my partner is really big on, you know, we start something, we are committing to that, or we have like, you know, I love that I sound so serious about TV too. Like, wow, we're really committed to the following shows. But you know, I guess that's also just kind of where we are right now in our social distanced life. So,
Anna, do you, speaking of TVs and, you know, because I don't travel near as much as you do, but you remember when we went to DC for the Royal Canin Women's Veterinary Summit? Honestly, when I go and travel, I never turn on TVs, hardly ever. I just, the silence, I like it. And, but I turned it on because I was doing some, I think, strength exercises or something in my room. And it was one of those, this is going to make me sound, this makes me feel old when I say this, but it was one of those like smart TVs where I could connect my Netflix account to it. And I was watching The Great British Bake Off. And I like, time after time, that's one that I just kept binging. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, these TVs are connected to my Netflix. It knows right where I'm at. And it was awesome. It just really, I mean, it enhanced that experience because they were really good about giving us some downtime to kind of regroup and stuff. So that was, I really liked that. And I think all hotels should have that.
That's awesome. And like, you guys got to watch me do like my crazy hand flail in the background when you were like, Great British Bake Off. And I'm like, ooh. Yeah.
It's a good
because
one.
I also really, really enjoy that show. And recently I actually got some of my friends here in the States like to start watching it. And they're like, oh my gosh, this is so good. It's so much better than any American baking show. And I was like, yes. And oh my gosh, I could talk about that as well. Just because they're so friendly and they care about each other as competitors. And they're like, if someone leaves, everyone's crying to say goodbye. And you're like, oh, I'm so invested in this.
So real quick question. Do people use cardamom as much as they do on that show over there? Because we don't use it that much over here. And they're just, I had to look up what it was the first time I watched it. Because they're like, oh yeah, we'll just throw a little cardamom in there. And I'm like, what is that?
I don't know. I don't know if I spend as much time with like other people who are baking, at least in the novice or amateur rings of baking in the UK, I guess. I don't know where I'm going with that. But I feel like cardamom rolls are a big deal over there, so potentially they use more cardamom than we do here in the States. I really like it, but I think like they don't really do cinnamon. Like, here's on a, I guess a different note, they don't really do cinnamon rolls over there. Like, I could never really find like the prepackaged cinnamon rolls or anything. Like, if I was going to make them, I have to make them from scratch, which I didn't have time for that. But here in the States, like, cinnamon rolls are a big deal. I don't know. But they use cardamom rolls over there, which they taste similar, just not as sugary, I guess.
Next time you come to Chicago, Anna, I don't think I've taken you here yet because you're usually here on like a weeknight. But next time you come to Chicago, we have to go to this place. It's called Ann Sather's, and it's a Swedish restaurant. But on their breakfast, which they serve all day, so you know it's a good restaurant then, you get two cinnamon rolls is one side. And you get two sides with every breakfast. So you could potentially have four cinnamon rolls with breakfast, and they're really good.
Oh my gosh, I'm getting in the car and driving up right now. That sounds incredible.
It's worth it.
Oh gosh. What were we talking about? Somehow we got on cinnamon rolls. Podcasting, right? Yep, that's what we were doing. So going back to your podcast, what are the type of stories that you're telling or sharing with the community?
Well, we started out, and when Marcy came up with this idea and kind of the initial, you know, vision for the podcast is not only did we want to kind of build this community, and it was really, you know, about shared experiences in a lot of ways, but it was also about showcasing to listeners all of the career paths that are possible within veterinary medicine. And I think you hear that message quite a bit. I think maybe more now in veterinary school curriculums than you may have 10, 15 years ago, that message is really making its way in. You know, the possibilities are endless. But I think we both have it had in the back of our mind that we hear that, like, oh, you can do anything with a DVM or VMD or, you know, whatever veterinary degree. But it was never how people got there. So we really wanted to showcase, okay, how did you become interested? How did you get to these awesome places? What did the failures look like? What did the challenges look like? What did you overcome? And it's been really cool to highlight kind of those aspects too. We've certainly had guests that just, we are so intimidated to talk to sometimes because they have, you know, resumes that are, you know, pages long and just, you know, all types of different highlights. But I love that we've gotten to really hear the human side of that story too, because I think sometimes it's easy especially as a young professional, to think, oh, wow, they've achieved so much. I'm never going to get there because I've had this setback, or, you know, this is what life looks like for me right now, and I need to take a pause and focus on this. And so it's just, I think that's been the coolest part of, you know, how that came about is getting to highlight that. And kind of a part of that, too, that we've really, Marcy and I have been passionate about from the beginning, is let's make sure we use this platform to showcase everybody's story. So, you know, we really wanted to try to weave the beauty of diversity that we have in our profession into the podcast. So I think we've been able to do that in our year and a half, especially as I just think about all the awesome people that have made time for us. And I think that's, you probably maybe feel the same way about podcasting is it, and I'm sure it's not unique to veterinary medicine, but we like to say this sometimes, that our people are so delightful because everybody has been so willing to share and so vulnerable. And I think that's what's, you know, made the podcast successful in its own right of people just really being able to open up. So
I can totally echo that. Everybody that I reach out to, they're like, oh my gosh, yes, I'd love to be on the podcast. And similar to what you say, they're just so vulnerable and they're so willing just to like open up and tell their story. I mean, veterinary professionals, we are a unique breed. I mean, that goes without saying. some a little bit more special than others, but like we are a community. And I feel like, especially over the last, I would say over the last 5 years, even, I've seen that community become even more close knit. Partly because of podcasting, because of social media that we have, like we're able to tell our stories about how we got to not just like the DVM, but how we then went on to be like practice owners or like some other crazy adventures that we've gone on, just because we have like more storytelling mediums. Because before it was like, yes, I'm a doctor. Yay. And like that was just the pedestal you were on. But now we're able to like open up the door underneath the pedestal and be like, and this is what it took to get there. And this is the exciting adventure. And this is the challenges and the celebrations and mm-hmm. the oodles of people that have all helped me to get to where I am. And so I think that, yeah, podcasting, social media, all these things have allowed us to really share the stories about what's going on. And I know for myself, like I could, like you, oh gosh, listening to all of the episodes, like it's incredible the kind of people that you've talked to. And like you said, they have some awesome stories to tell and some amazing like ways to inspire, encourage, and challenge each other within this profession. It is just amazing. And I mean, you've only been doing this for a year and a half, you said, but you guys have put out over close to 110 episodes. I think I counted today, there's like 107 on the listing for iTunes. And I was just like, dang, that's a lot of episodes. Because I know for myself, I think I'm right around 85, just from being a one person kind of scenario. But like, you guys have been able to tell stories from all over. So I commend you on that. And just opening up the door for not just like the students who are coming up or the pre-veterinary students, but for the people who are in the profession, and maybe they feel stuck. And they're like, well, I'm a doctor. What else can I do? And here you guys are saying, yeah, okay, you're not stuck. You're not stuck at all. Like, you can go do pretty much anything your heart desires. And sure, it's going to maybe take some clawing to get there. It's not going to be easy for some of these things. But if you have questions about how to do it, like, we have a community that is more than willing to share, because you can't even call them secrets about how they got there. It's just like information, to share their information, to share their story. So what you guys are doing is just absolutely incredible. And I guess this is a perfect opportunity then to say, where can people find your podcast?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you. It's very kind of you to say. It really means a lot to us. And we are, the most common place people get the podcast is Apple Podcasts. We're also on Spotify, Stitcher, Spreaker. That's what we use for our platform to release the episodes. There's a lot of jargon that I had to learn for all this, and it's, of course, slipped all through my brain. You can also find them on AVMA Axon, which is AVMA's educational platform, but it takes a few more clicks than what, like, normal, like, there's not, like, a subscribe button, sort of like you would with a normal podcast. But if you're cruising around AVMA Axon, you'll see it on there, too.
Awesome. And as you're mentioning, like the different platforms, one thing that always comes to mind is with building a community through podcasts, it's how do we get the feedback from our listeners and from our community? Because podcasting, for whatever reason, doesn't have this intrinsically built in. It's like if our listeners want to respond to us, they have to like walk around a backfield, go through a door, dig underneath a fence, and like then they can find a way to communicate with us. So have you guys found a way that allows for that more direct communication with your listeners?
Not effectively. We have an email account. And of course, when sometimes our social media team will promote some of the episodes, because I think our situation is a little different sometimes because we're under a bigger organization. So there's a lot of information AVMA puts out. So they're not going to be able to promote each and every single episode just because it would be information overload for everyone because we do it weekly. And then at least through most of the coronavirus, we've put out two a week just because there's good information. So that would just be too much. So we have an email, and I have to say nothing makes us more excited than when we get an email, even if it's someone like we got one, gosh, has it been about a month ago, Anna, or so, that offered us some really constructive feedback. And it was done very professionally. And it was about topics and guests and stuff. And I really appreciated that because, you know, the other way that people communicate with us is to leave ratings and reviews. And overall, we had really good ones, but I called Anna the other day and I was like, we've made it. We got our first one-star review. And the person was saying, just basically said we used like too much. And I couldn't pinpoint which episode they were talking about or what it was referencing. And it could have been a troll. I don't know. But I said, this now we've arrived. So there's not, you know, that's what's interesting. And we learned from the podcast conference as well. There's not really a good way to grab metrics. So you're kind of just putting this out there in the hope that people are taking it in. And every once in a while, when we get those emails or that feedback, or when a past guest recommends a future guest for us, it shows us that it really is making a difference. That's been my experience. I don't know, Anna.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I think the email has been the most direct way we've been able to connect with listeners and get that. And I do love when we get an email, or if I'm out of a school visit and kind of talk about the podcast, the students that are willing to, you know, come forward and say, hey, I would love to be a part, or I know somebody, or hey, you haven't talked about this. Can you talk about this career path? And so, it's podcasting. It is kind of odd that there isn't a better way, but maybe that also is what keeps us all going too.
The suspense.
I did have a really cool, this was a really big moment for me. It felt so special. I was giving a presentation at school, and afterwards someone came up to talk to me and they're like, you know, I was listening to your presentation and I thought your voice sounded really familiar. And then at the end, I always put up like a takeaway slide. I was like, you can also catch our podcast or whatever. And she said, it finally clicked that's, you know, where I had heard your voice before was from the podcast. And that felt really good, you know? So it's just, I don't know that there's a good direct way.
It's I feel like the podcast world is trying to mend this, not very quickly, I must say. I know for the platform that I use, Anchor, there is the option for listeners to record a voice message and send that back. So like they can listen to something and they can be like, oh my gosh, I really like that. And they can literally record something saying, hey, I really like that. Or can you do this? Or just like any kind of thought that they have. And so far, like people really haven't taken it up for my podcast per se, but when I do get them, I'm like, oh my gosh, a person, like a real life person. I'm not just talking into an abyss, you know. And equally so, I think I've been trying to build out like the Instagram community there, or Vetstagram community, and that has been one of the main ways that people have responded back to me. They'll be like, hey, I listened to your podcast and such and such and such, and I'm like, oh my gosh, a real person. But yeah, it's something that I feel like we need to figure out, especially maybe the veterinary podcast world will be the first one to do this, and then it can grow elsewhere. But yeah, trying to figure out how to do feedback, because, you know, you guys that are listening, Like, we're real people too. We love hearing from you because you're a real person. And like Marcy said in the beginning, like, you guys become our friends and we want to be friends with you. So,
you know, that's really cool. I didn't know Anchor did that. So I'll have to look at it because a couple of the other podcasts I listen to use Anchor. And that would, I think the key is we have to make it as easy as possible because just like we find in veterinary practice, it's much easier for someone to be motivated to leave a very negative review. But whenever you're happy, you want to do it right in that moment or you're probably not going to remember to do it. And especially if there's maybe 10 steps or even 5 steps to do it. But if you can just quickly do, you know, I think about like, you know, Instagram and Twitter, it's just like that quick like. I know, I almost wish each episode could have like a option to like it, you know?
Yeah. I know, again, Anchor, they basically have like you can subscribe to a podcast and then I think there might be a feature for that. I don't know. I'd have to look into it. But otherwise, yeah, it's just like people leaving ratings and reviews for the general podcast. But I would love to have like a comment section underneath a podcast. I think the trouble is that it's available on so many different platforms. Like, how would you collate all of those together? But my podcast nerd brain is thinking about all these things.
That's one of the benefits when some of the ones I listen to use YouTube and Facebook Live at the same time. And that's cool because then you get to see them as well if you choose to connect that way. But that does give you the option then to leave specific comments or likes or something for that specific episode. So that's one thing. We've toyed with it, but we just haven't made the jump yet.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the other challenges other than just getting community feedback that you guys have faced during production or recording?
Well, I think there's always that nervousness of, and especially that we've talked about lately, you know, the internet is tired. It's just a whole, I don't know if you guys know this, but the internet, she has had a year. And so that's been a kind of a challenge in recent times is, you know, just really the bandwidth of, you know, cutting out and you always worry like, oh, did I just miss something? And, you know, so that's always kind of, I think the technical things more than anything, but I think also a challenge that Marcy and I have really tried to take on recently is having uncomfortable conversations, having difficult conversations, not trying to shy away from issues. And so I think that's been a challenge, but it's been a good challenge. I think that's offered us both a lot of growth in the recent months as we've tried to really not only dig a little deeper into, you know, some veterinary career stories, but also really talk about, you know, what the other influences of the world that have shaped those career paths for veterinarians. And that's mainly been conversations that we've had, you know, with veterinarians that are, you know, Black or in other underrepresented minority groups in the profession. And so that has been, you know, really awesome to hear new perspectives and just, you know, learn so much. We also had the chance in June to record with several of the leadership on the student side and the professional side, their larger community from Pride Veterinary Medical Community, and just educate ourselves more about the Pride movement and about the LGBTQ+ community in veterinary medicine. So I think, you know, outside of the technical stuff, that's been, and I hesitate to call it a challenge, but I guess it is, you know, at times, because I think we should always be, especially given the world that we're living in now, we should be looking for new ways to challenge our thought process and challenge the scope of how we see the world. So that's been, I think, kind of a recent thing that we've been working on tackling. And, you know, I'm sure I've had like more than my fair share of awkward moments at times during conversations, because I have been presented with moments of growth where I just need to stop and say, wow, okay, we're having a really good conversation and I'm going to need a moment to really think about that. And so it's kind of funny because those are easier conversations maybe in person than they are over the internet. And then also recording that conversation, you know? So I think for me, that's what comes to mind right now.
Yeah, and I think I would just echo that the technical problems are what kept me up at night when we first started this. And then it's almost like when you're in practice, it's pretty easy to go onto autopilot for the routine stuff. And then all of a sudden something like talking about routine in clinical medicine. So you're doing your puppy vaccines and suddenly they have an anaphylactic reaction, you know, or something. And you're like, what? You know, it kind of snaps you out of it. And that's what I feel like recording during quarantine times has been like. Because we had this one episode we were looking forward to so much. And there was this unknown echo that we still have not solved, still could not figure it out. I did the best I could to edit out what I could, but it was kind of choppy. And I was so distraught through the whole episode. I didn't even get to focus as much on the conversation as I wanted to because I couldn't figure out where this echo was coming from. Still don't know. And I think that's probably the more concerning part is it can happen again at any moment. But it has caused us to refocus on those little details. And for me, I am a just quick, like, I want to quick think, quick respond, do all this. And sometimes, I think that plays very well in a podcast often, but sometimes those responses can reflect, you know, the privilege and the, you know, internal biases and things I have that I come with. And if I don't take time to stop and reflect, especially when we're having those difficult conversations, it can come across as very almost, you know, tone deaf and maybe a little ditzy. And that's what I hope that does not actually describe me, but it's, you don't get an opportunity to really develop that more because you've moved on to the next conversation. So I'm trying to listen and maybe I'm thinking of the Hamilton song now. It's like, smile more, talk less. That's probably what Marcy's theme for 2020 should be, I guess.
That's something that, as you're saying it, I'm like, yeah, that's something I really am trying to work on as well. Because like when you're recording a podcast, and like you said, Anna, like doing it over technology, and it's harder to fully read someone than when they're sitting in the room and you have like the rest of their body language to go off of. But here, like, oh gosh, those things of just listening is a big part of why I started this podcast, was that I was like, I want to learn how to listen better. So I even do things where like I take my microphone and when I'm done talking, I pull it away from my face. So that A, you don't hear me breathing, and B, it slows me down from just like responding without taking time and listening. Because in talking about uncomfortable situations, I think we're really uncomfortable with silence nowadays. Very much, yep, here I am, raising my hand too. And with silence and the social media sphere, like we're constantly used to having like the next firefight thrown at us, like literally every single day, like you turn it on, you're just kind of like, yuck, don't want to listen to that again, because every day it is just a new firefight. And you're like, ah, like, but we're used to that now. Like we're used to constantly having that. So on some odd, weird day that we don't have something, we're like, oh, this is weird. I'm not comfortable with this. Like we're expecting something to come at us. And then so we create something maybe. But that echoes onto podcasting where you're used to having like constant conversation. And like, if you're not saying something, maybe that means you're not good at it. When in fact, kind of creating that uncomfortable silence is where some of the deeper conversations come from, which I think is what you were getting at, Anna, when you're talking about that, and just really learning to listen and take in the silence. So for me, I'm also just learning how to take in silence, take in uncomfortable conversations. And through podcasting, that's one of the ways that we're able to do that. So what are some of the favorite episodes that you guys have had going through your year and a half of podcasting?
Oh my gosh, that's a really unfair question. I love them all. Honestly, the first one that pops to mind is the one that we just recorded yesterday that's not coming out for 2 weeks. Because we were talking to Dr. Tierra Price and we just all connected on so many levels, and we have come up with our own Netflix show that we're going to pitch, and it was just a really fun conversation. But I mean, Dr. Mia Carey, she was on staff at the AVMA whenever we first started this, and she connected us to her class, a bunch of her classmates. I think we've had six or seven people from that class on, something like that. And they basically welcomed us into their class and from University of Florida. And I just love them all. But probably if I had to say absolute favorite one is the very first episode where it's just me and Anna. And we were just talking through this idea.
Oh, that'll be so cool. And actually, when this episode comes out, that means that your episode will be out the following week. Okay, so if you guys are listening to this, be on the lookout for a really awesome episode of My Veterinary Life coming out next week. That is so weird to, like, wrap my brain around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's it. It'll be a week from when you're listening to this episode. Okay.
I'm running through all of the episodes. I'm like, oh my gosh, we've just talked to so many cool people. Anna, you go.
Yeah, no, I think I'm so grateful to Dr. Mia Carey for not only connecting us, but I guess, you know, to mention earlier on, really, she was a huge catalyst for our podcast getting started and getting up and running through the AVMA. So she's a favorite. And Dr. Kimba Marshall always comes to mind just because now I didn't know Kimba before we recorded. And now I consider Kimba to be a friend. And I think that's really fun when that happens. You know, I had a conversation with her last week after we recorded with her again, but I just called her and I was like, Kimba, you know, we just recorded, but can me and you just talk? You know, I want to know what's going on with you. And, you know, so also I love our first one because it's so fun to look back on too, but I really enjoyed too just some of the unexpected guests, people who have career paths that are so different than mine has been. I always think to those that are in the zoo med realm or the wildlife realm, just because in my prior life when I lived, you know, when I was a practitioner, I did mixed animal medicine. And so those were all just like really far from what I did. And so I really love those, but gosh, that's the impossible task of picking out. And then I think too, you know, and you might feel this way, there's a difference too between ones that you've gotten to record in person versus other ones. So we're very fortunate. Hills Pet Nutrition has sponsored our podcast pretty much from the beginning. And we last summer got to go to their headquarters in Kansas and record with several different veterinarians from Hills. And that was just such a treat because you, like we talked about earlier, you get to see their body language and your energy just feeds off of each other. So those are some of my favorite episodes and the ones that we've recorded in person too. Just anytime we've recorded at convention or other meetings, it's just, it's a different element. Oh, COVID, I long for seeing people
again. I know, I miss people and I miss being able to hug people. And I know that I'm a huggy person. So I know when clients are finally allowed back in the building, they should just be prepared for a vet who loves to hug them because, like, I just miss people. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, that wasn't exactly the most fair of me just to be like, because I didn't tell you any of the questions I was going to ask you before this episode, which you guys were very kind to just walk into this blindly. But for me to be like, and your favorite episode, go.
It's just hard because I feel like I forget some because as soon as Anna started saying, I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, the ones from Kansas are so good. And we had one with Dr. Granstrom, who's at the AVMA. He's like the second in command, and he is just hilarious. And just recording with him was just so fun. And he, talk about someone who downplays what they've contributed to the profession. He would be one of those people, but my goodness, that was fun too. So I love them all, really. Because being on this side of the microphone, which I'm sure you found too, you know, I said at the beginning, we wanted to build a community and I feel like these people are my friends. Well, when you actually are interviewing them, you have the opportunity to in real life be friends and not in the creepy way as I described it. So it just is like really exciting. And I just feel extremely grateful, you know, for the experience.
Honestly, I haven't really been able to record a lot of my episodes in person just because I've been like in Scotland or like who knows where else in the world. But so I'm kind of jealous that you guys have been able to do so many in person. But again, COVID, when are you going to end so we can have real life friends again and not just internet friends? But oh my gosh, you guys, this has been such a fun episode to record. And I know we could go on forever, basically just going back and forth. But I want to try out some quick fire questions for you guys as we end here today. So with COVID, what has been your stress relief?
Can I say two?
Go for it.
So running has always been, I'm very fortunate that running was not canceled. Some of my races were, but I've been able to run. I'm in Chicago. I've been able to run this whole time. And even when I was forced inside for various reasons, I fell on a run and I had to have surgery on my hand.
Oh, no.
And so I had to get a COVID test before the surgery. So I wasn't allowed to leave after the COVID test before surgery. So I was on my treadmill and I was just the whole time thinking how grateful I was to still just be moving and everything. And then when quarantine started, I started doing these themed days for my new office mates, so my husband and my dog. And from March 18th through the end of May, every working day, we had a different theme and we took pictures and we posted them on social media. So we recreated movie scenes, or we did superheroes one day, or landmarks and color themes, rain jackets, all that. It was really, really fun because it got my creative juices kind of flowing. And it gave us, we put them out on, like I said, social media, and then people responded. And so it felt like a way to connect with people. But I ran out of ideas in May, so I had to stop.
That is awesome. Oh my gosh, that sounds great. And for you, Anna?
Well, this is going to sound kind of funny because this also can be a source of stress, but it really, our new baby, Hudson, has just been the greatest stress relief because I think he's, motherhood in general has been a big humbling experience, and children can teach you a lot, but I think kind of through all of this, you know, there's been the unexpected blessing of getting to spend every day with him. And so just, that's my stress relief at the end of the day, is just to think like, my gosh, look at the little things that have changed today. Like, you're more aware of where your hand is. And we started trying solid food this week. And so that's been like a real highlight to the end of the day. It's like, what are we going to try to feed him today?
Oh, and, it's an adventure.
Yeah. So that's really fun. I mean, don't get me wrong. It can be very stressful. You know, managing a now 6-month-old at home and working, and Hudson has been on many a podcast now, feeding and, you know, on mute, playing with toys. And during some intros, Marcy has had to like hold up her hands and keep him happy so I can record her first one, which was really hilarious. So sometimes I wish we were capturing the behind the scenes of what's happening right now. But yeah, he's my stress reliever.
And so one last quick fire question then. Have you been reading any new books recently that you would recommend to our listeners?
Yes, I have. I'm going to go first, Sienna. Sorry. I'm very excited.
There's a lot of excitement going on here. So
okay.
Go for it.
I am very heavily into like fantasy, like fae, make-believe, magic, all that stuff. I typically have to go the young adult route because that's where most of that genre lives. And there is an author called Sarah J. Maas, and I love all of her books. And March, like it was almost, my birthday's March 6th, and I think this book came out March 8th. And it was her first adult novel in this genre, and it's over 800 pages. And I told myself, I'm going to wait a little bit because I was getting ready to head to SABMA Symposium. And I was like, I just want something to look forward to. And the world changed very quickly. And a few weeks in, once we'd kind of gotten into our routine, I was like, I haven't gotten that book yet. So I downloaded it on my Kindle and I stayed up entirely too late every night reading it. I read it so fast. I have since read it 2 more times because I just get lost in it. So it's called Crescent City. And if you like any sort of fantasy thing, I don't even think I could do it justice. It's so good. And then please contact me because I haven't found enough people to talk about it with. So I would really like to talk about it. So that's been one of my favorite books of all time. And then it, you know, being so long and reading it multiple times has really helped during this quarantine.
Yeah. And I can tell you're super, super excited about it because, like, the entire time you're saying that, you're literally bouncing back and forth.
It's, and you're like, ah!
So, it's so good.
That sounds like an awesome book.
Her character development is so good. And I would recommend all of her books, but this one I just can't get out of my head. I just can't. I just get lost in the world of the characters and everything. Every time I pick up something else, because it's, of course, a lot of pages. And I've read several series of hers, and so now I'm starting to pick up the breadcrumbs. I'm like, ooh, this will be something in the next one because it's a series. So very excited.
That sounds so cool. Yeah, you guys need to go read that so that Marcy has someone to talk to about this book. And so for you, Anna?
Well, reading's been a bit of a challenge right now because I'm just admittedly been very lazy with my downtime that is not work or like once the baby is in bed. I have just really binged out on TV, like I said earlier, you know, in my response when I treated TV like it was a job responsibility. I will say Marcy and I are in a professional ladies literacy guild, as we call it.
Ooh, fancy.
It's a book club. So that's the most recent thing I've read. It was just for the book club. But we just finished Becoming by Michelle Obama.
That's good.
And I think the four of us all really enjoyed it. So, and that also speaks to my life in social distancing right now. It's like, I need the book club to force me to read because otherwise I just do a poor job of making time for it. But if you haven't read it yet, read it. And I'm actually considering what doing one of the members in our book club did is she listened to it because she had already read it and she loaned me her copy and she listened to it. And because Michelle Obama has just like one of the best, most soothing, like confidence inspiring voices ever. So I'm like, I need to listen to Michelle tell me this book now. That's my most recent.
I know you said rapid fire, but I have to add two more things.
Okay.
That book is fantastic. I would really recommend it. It's a very quick read. Mariah, I think a book you would like, it's called Run the World. It's written by Becky Wade, and she's a professional runner now, but she took the year after she graduated from college. She got a fellowship, and as part of that fellowship, you have to spend the entire year outside of the United States studying something, and she chose to study running cultures around the world. It was phenomenal. It's a really, really good book. She went to Ethiopia. She went to Australia. She went to New Zealand. I mean, just real. And she gets into the history and she talks to runners, joins local running clubs, talks about diets and things like that. So good. And then I don't know if anyone, my husband reminded me of this today. Anna and I bonded over this as well. When we were in vet school, separately, we both loved Twilight. And that was my escape when I was in vet school. And next week, Midnight Sun comes out, which is Twilight from Edward's perspective. I will be placing my pre-order today, just so everyone knows.
Anna's face on that one. She was like, oh my gosh.
This is not even on my radar. I am thrilled right now.
Yeah. So Anna, get it on audio or something, you know, and we can talk about it then. So I had read the excerpt that got leaked years ago that caused her to put this project on hold. And it's fantastic. So I'm very excited about that.
I think I hear a veterinary book club starting.
My gosh. Only if it's fantasy books.
Oh my gosh. This has literally been one of the most fun conversations I've had. Oh my gosh. Oh, you guys are too much fun. How are we going to stop this episode other than me just saying, that's it, we're done.
You probably will have to because like I said, I told myself I would learn to stop talking, but I just haven't quite gotten there yet.
I'm on that same boat with you. So remind us where people can find the podcast and how they can contact you guys.
Yeah, certainly. So it's My Veterinary Life Podcast, and you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spreaker, Spotify, and AVMA Axon. And anytime you want to reach us, you can email Marcy and Anna at mvlpodcast@avma.org. And every week, we try to bring you inspiring stories from across the veterinary profession.
And I will have all of those contacts in the show notes. You guys have no excuse to not contact and say hi to these people because they want to be your friend, remember. They do actually want to be your friend. So thank you both again for coming on the show today and just sharing your excitement for not only the veterinary profession, but podcasting, running, book reading. You know, you guys are just awesome human beings. But once again, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yes, thanks so much. We enjoyed it.
And for all of you guys who are listening, remember you can always find the next episode of That Vet Life. Comes out every week, every Wednesday, same bat time, same bat channel. You can find That Vet Life on any major podcasting platform as well. You can always reach out through Instagram or Facebook at That Vet Life Podcast. But until next time, guys, see ya.